Good morning, and thank you, everyone, on behalf of Breck Peterson, who is currently in the midst of messed up and delayed and canceled flights trying to get here. I'm going to present some results we had from this tillage study in a wheat production system. And so we're going to go through the talk, just giving a little bit of a background and describing the site, a brief introduction to our methods, and then the results. So the work was conducted in the Southern Plains in central Oklahoma, and wheat, this is really in the heart of the wheat belt, and so winter wheat production is a very common practice. Historically, we've had a lot of continuous wheat, most of it pretty intensively tilled, and there is some movement in the private sector, certainly in the research world, to reducing the tillage, going to no tillage practice. And that down the line opens up opportunities to diversify the cropping system. But this is going to be tillage, conventional and no-tillage wheat. And so management can have a big impact on greenhouse gases in these systems. So they've been linked to exacerbated losses of soil carbon and nitrogen through the way that those cycle in the soils. As you have increased soil carbon and nitrogen cycling, there's an increased potential for loss of carbon and nitrogen in three really significant greenhouse gas emissions. Carbon dioxide, and we've had the most measurements related to that. Nitrous oxide, that's also received a fair amount of attention in recent years. But soil also can take up or emit methane from the soil organisms. And there's less known about the methane fluxes. So agricultural practices as a whole are credited with 9% of total greenhouse gas emissions by the United States in our national surveys and reporting systems. This has increased 11% since 1990, and two major sources of greenhouse gases from agriculture are livestock manure management systems and agricultural soil management, including the tillage and nutrient management of these soils. And I might mention that in our wheat system, unlike some other parts of the world where wheat is grown, in this part of the country, the Southern Plains, wheat is an important forage for cattle. And so we do have beef cattle grazing in these wheat systems. And the emissions from these soil disturbances, the soil management, has been increasing since 1990, particularly associated with tillage. So the disturbances in this study that we're considering are the mechanical tillage in the conventional system and the chemical disturbance through application of fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides. So the treatments we're going to discuss today are conventional and no-tillage management, the fertilizer, pesticide, and herbicide applications. We're going to look at there's a prediction in this region for increasing precipitation intensity and longer periods of drought, so we're very interested in this study on the climatic and water impacts on these emissions. And the short-term effect of tillage is unknown on these soils, particularly on the methane and nitrous oxide emissions, but also on the carbon. So in this study, we looked at the effect of conventional chisel tillage on greenhouse gas fluxes in a historically cropped winter wheat fields in the Southern Plains. And we did this in 2 years so that we could look at some of the precipitation effects on these processes. This is a photo of wheat in Oklahoma in mid-March in the study area. These are located at the Agricultural Research Station in Arena, Oklahoma. This area has been in winter wheat. This field has been in winter wheat in more than 20 years, and that has been grazed beef cattle grazing on the wheat. The treatments are chisel plow tillage and no tillage. The field was transitioned to no-tillage in 2015, and the measurements were taken in 2015 and 2016. These were both sampled in July of each year. The soils in the study plots were very similar in carbon content, nitrogen, pH, organic matter, and electrical conductivity. The bulk density was impacted, of course, by tillage. So prior to tillage, the bulk density was about 1.42. After tillage, it was about 1.36. And you can see that the no-tillage treatments in both cases, or in one case, was very comparable following the tillage treatment, slightly higher in the second year than the conventionally tilled field. So the soils were sampled in 0 to 15 centimeters and measured for gravimetric soil water content at time 0, 3, 6, 12, 24, 48, 72, 96, 168, and 336 hours after tillage. And they were measured before and after the tillage experiment for total carbon, total nitrogen, pH, bulk density, and inorganic carbonates. Greenhouse gas samples were taken from stationary chambers over 45 minutes and analyzed on a Shimatsu gas chromatograph. And the measurements included carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. The statistical analysis was a randomized design with five replicants in the conventional tillage and no-tillage treatments, and the data were tested for normality using normal QQ plots, and outliers were analyzed using the Cook's distance test. And the results we're going to report were compared using the Fisher's protected least significant distance test at probability of 0.05. So the first result deals with the water field pore space. You can see that in 2015, the water field pore space in no-till was greater than in the conventionally tilled fields. Actually, that was true in both cases. The water field pore space was higher in 2015 compared to 2016. And the changes in the conventional till and no-till were due to rainfall events between hours 24 and 48 that you can see in the 2015 data. And the decrease by hour 336 was due to increasing temperature through the experimental time period. In 2016, the water field pore space in continuous tillage was due to tillage. There was 20% greater water field pore space in no-till than conventional till prior to tillage, and it remained that way throughout the monitoring period. So for carbon dioxide emissions, the results for 2015 first, conventional tillage was similar to no-tillage prior to the disturbance, and return to a similar level at 168 hours. It was about 30% greater than the no-tillage at hour 3, and the carbon dioxide flux for conventional tillage was about 79 to 140 milligrams per square meter per hour. The flux increased starting after hours, between hours 6 and 9. And no-till remained comparable to the pre-tillage time period throughout the study. So the emissions of carbon dioxide does not follow the patterns of water field pore space. In 2016, carbon conventional tillage flux increased by 100% after tillage. It was greatest at hour 6, and it was lower than in 2016. And return to concentrations to the pre-tillage concentrations by hour 336. So for nitrous oxide emissions, In 2015, the flux from the two treatments were similar before tillage. At the time of tillage, the tilled system increased by about 50%, while no tillage plot remained similar. There was a maximum at hour 6 and remained elevated until hour 48. And no tillage remained similar prior to the pre-tillage condition throughout the monitoring period. In 2016, the two systems again were similar prior to the imposition of the disturbance. No-till remained level throughout the monitoring period. There was a 500% increase by hour 9 in the conventionally tilled system and remained elevated until hour 168. So for the methane emissions, you can see that prior to tillage, conventional and no tillage were not comparable. Both were assimilating methane prior to the disturbance treatment. Assimilation of methane increased by 75% in no tillage throughout the monitoring period, but returned to the pre-disturbance level by hour 336. Assimilation in the conventional tillage decreased by 150% by hour 6, where the soil started to emit methane rather than assimilate methane. And in 2016, the two tillage treatments, again, were similar prior to the treatment. The conventional tilled system transitioned very rapidly to emission of methane. And remained in a flux state until hour 96. The no-till was able to maintain assimilation throughout the monitoring, but it did decrease by hour 48 due to a soil moisture response. And overall, less methane was assimilated in 2016 in the no-till than in 2015, and more methane was emitted in the tilled system in 2016 compared to 2015. So in summary, the water-filled pore space occurred was greater in 2015 compared to 2016. The increased water-filled pore space resulted in greater carbon dioxide flux from the conventional tillage compared to no-tillage plots in 2015. And the tillage also experienced greater carbon dioxide flux in 2016 due to tillage compared to no-till. And both years showed an instant increase in carbon dioxide in response to tillage. The water-filled pore space in 2015 would have been expected to result in greater nitrous oxide flux from the tilled soils compared to 2016, but we didn't see that. And so we're still going to continue working on trying to understand these processes better. The methane flux only occurred from flux, meaning an emission from the soil, only occurred in our tilled soils during the two steady periods. The post-tillage increase in the methane flux occurred at different times in each year, but was an important contrast to the no-till undisturbed system in both years. So we suggest that in 2016 the flux was associated with increased water-filled pore space after tillage, priming the soil and activating the biological activity. So the conventional tillage increased overall greenhouse gas fluxes, losses of carbon and nitrogen from the soil, and our no-tillage practices in the study decreased the fluxes of greenhouse gases, indicating even further benefit from reducing mechanical disturbances for protecting the soil carbon and nitrogen budgets in these fields. And this work was supported by USDA and by the Great Plains Grazing, which is a NEPA-funded project conducted collaboratively with Kansas State University and other collaborators. Thank you.